Tonight, Hosea is the never-ending love of God, and he teaches us that great lesson. Verse 1, it begins by saying, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." Brother Paul Dowdy, would you pray for us this evening? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, the book of Hosea, as we mentioned last week, is really kind of a miniature Bible in itself, because in Hosea, it contains really a summary of the entire scriptures. And just to get a little bit of context here, Hosea, he is a prophet, and remember, prophets would receive a message from the Lord, and they would choose to, as we would see in Jonah's life, not to deliver that message, or to deliver that message and be faithful to do so. But Hosea, in his ministry, was a little different. Not only was he to bring a verbal message and preach a message to the people of Israel, but Hosea's life itself would preach to the children of Israel. God takes Hosea, and he does more with his life than he does with his words. And really, Hosea gives us a wonderful picture of God, whereas his wife Gomer is the perfect picture of Israel. And we can look in this story, although it was written thousands of years ago, and think, well, that was just for Hosea and Israel and Gomer, and that doesn't have much to do with us. But I honestly believe if we would take a genuine look at the scriptures tonight, that we would be able to find ourselves smack dab in the middle of this story. And let me give you a hint. We ain't Hosea. All right. I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching, right? This evening, we're going to kind of summarize the previous 2 points of this character, this lesson, Hosea, that he's teaching us. We're going to look at the marriage, the betrayal, the consequences, and the restoration. You see, for Hosea to merely preach with his words the message that God sent, although it would be powerful, it was not nearly as powerful as Hosea's life that preached to the children of Israel. Hosea was made an object lesson for the entire world to learn from. Number one, we have the marriage. Again, just a bit of review, but the marriage. Remember, God told Hosea, go and take you a wife. And we said, man, I bet Hosea was happy for about 0.3 seconds, right? When he thought, amen, all right, I can do this, Lord. I mean, which one? You know, I've been talking to this girl over here. And he says, I want you to take a wife of whoredoms, or harlotry. God told Hosea to go and marry a woman of prostitution. That woman's name is Gomer. And Hosea brings Gomer out of that life of prostitution. He enters into a beautiful marriage covenant with her, a wonderful picture of redemption that we see in just this marriage covenant that Hosea makes with Gomer. And he delivers her from that life of brokenness and pain and suffering that she had been in. And now she is married to a prophet of God. And that's a pretty big turnaround, isn't it? From prostitution to now wife of a prophet. The marriage was beautiful. say, well, is this just about Hosea and Gomer? No, it's not, because God is delivering a message to Israel. See, God entered into a covenant with the people of Israel. Though they had nothing to offer God in return, God chose them and made them, remember, the apple of His eye. He said, you will be my people and I will be your God. And He made that covenant. And He gave that covenant to a man named Abraham. We refer to him as Father Abraham, the father of Israel, the father of the nation. That God said, I will bring you and give you this land, this promised land. Not only that, but I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the kingdoms of the earth will be blessed through you. And we know that today. That's us, by the way, because we are blessed through Jesus Christ and the salvation that He brings to us. God says, I entered into that covenant with you. And yet after the marriage, number two, we looked at last week, the betrayal. The betrayal. Hosea marries Gomer, and then Gomer goes back. Absolutely mind-blowing. She is taken and delivered from that life of prostitution. All that Hosea had done for her, and I kind of ask why. Why would she go back? How could she go back? In Hosea, she had security. She had someone who loved her, not just for what she could give him or her body, but he had genuine love for her. Hosea loved her despite all of her shortcomings, and she goes what? Back into the life of harlotry and adultery. Can you imagine how Hosea felt in that moment? How crushing would that have been at that point in time? And yet remember, this isn't just about Hosea and Gomer, because God entered into that covenant with Israel. He delivered them out of bondage from Egypt, and they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back. You remember we talked about last week how they made the arrogant statement. We remember the garlic and the onions and the leeks, and we remember how good we had it in Egypt. And yet we said, no, they actually forgot, didn't they? They forgot the bondage for 400 years that Pharaoh had put them in, right? They forgot that the Pharaoh had taken their male children and thrown them into the Nile just for being born. They forgot about all of the abuse and how they were treated like dogs and mocked and just spit upon and beaten. And they forgot about that, didn't they? They also forgot all that God had done for them. They forgot about all the plagues that their God that they worship brought to Egypt. They forgot how He led them and parted the Red Sea for them. They forgot about those things, how He had protected them. And so Israel commits spiritual adultery against the Lord, and they go back to these false gods. The false gods that had only taken from them. They never gave anything back, and yet that's what they went back to. We had the marriage, the betrayal, and here's where we pick up this week. Number three, the consequences. Hosea 2 and verse number 9. The Word of God says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. Hosea, you remember how Gomer said, oh, I'm going back to these other lovers, and they're going to take care of me. They're going to give me all these things that I've been missing. And Hosea said, wait a second. She forgets that it was I who gave her those things. And he said, I'm cutting her off. I'm not supporting this toxic lifestyle anymore. And he says, I'm taking it all back. I'm cutting up the card, so to speak. I'm blocking her out of the account. She's not going to get anything else. Listen, God with Israel will not stay silent forever. And they had turned away from him, and they had mocked him and served other gods. And God says, I will cut you off and see if those other gods will care for you. You know, Hosea 5 and verse 10, it says this, the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. He says, Israel has turned away from me for so long that my wrath has been building and building and building. Sometimes as you read through the scriptures where you see the children of Israel are faithful and then all of a sudden it's like they turn away from the Lord and start worshiping other gods. And you think, why didn't God immediately just bring some sort of judgment against them? And we see here the never-ending love of God, that he waits and he waits and he waits, but he does not stay silent forever. He says, my wrath has been building up like water in a dam, ready to be released. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said, I tremble for my nation, that my God is just, and that his justice will not sleep forever. And you know, with the nation of America today, listen, there is coming a time where God's wrath will be poured out. I think we can see some glimpses of that. But when it comes, there will be no question. There were consequences. Don't think that Gomer's sins only affected her. You remember that Hosea and Gomer had children? And I bet that Hosea had to answer some pretty tough questions from his kids. Can you imagine what the kids were thinking? Where's mommy, Dad? Where's mommy at? And again, we're not given the exact age, and we don't know exactly how old the children were when Gomer was and Hosea and Gomer had left. But you can imagine that that was some tough questions that Hosea had to answer. Well, mommy's not here right now. Well, where is she? We have really a threefold prophecy given to us and to the nation of Israel here in the book of Hosea about the consequences they would face. And the prophecy is given in the names of Hosea's children. He names his first child Jezreel. Jezreel means God sows or he scatters. Like a farmer scatters the seed and sows the seed into a field, scattering it and flinging it about, God says, that is what I'm going to do to Israel because they have turned away from me. That was the first part of the prophecy. He says, I will scatter you. Hey, listen, you don't even have to open God's book to find out that that prophecy came true. Look in your history book and you'll see that. The next child, let me look at a Hosea 8 in verse 13. Here's what he says first. In Jezreel, he says, I will scatter thee. He says, they shall return to Egypt. He says, you're going to go back. You're going to go back into slavery. Jezreel, God scatters. The second child's name, Lo Ruhamah, which means this, no mercy. The second child of Hosea. His name means no more mercy. You might look and read certain parts of Scripture and say, man, that's harsh that God acted like that toward Israel. And really in this name, we get a glimpse of who God really is. No more mercy. As in, I've been giving you mercy and been showing you grace for years and years and years. And he says, Israel, you have turned away from me like Gomer has turned away from Hosea, and I will show you no more mercy. I will scatter you abroad. Israel had used up all of God's compassion at that moment, and Israel's judgment is imminent. The third child of Hosea, Lo-Ami, simply means this, not my people. You remember the promise and the covenant that was made? God says, you will be mine and I will be yours. God says, I will remove myself from you. Hosea 1 in verse 9. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. He basically says to Israel, if you do not want me, okay. He withdraws himself. There are consequences that Israel were going to face. There are consequences that Gomer is going to face. There are consequences, listen, when you and I as Christians and unbelievers, when we turn away from the Lord, when we sin against a holy God, there are consequences. And just because there is repentance in your life, listen, God forgives you of your sin. Is your sin paid for? Absolutely. Does God still love you? Absolutely. But we may still have to answer for the decisions that we make against the Lord. Many times we come to God desperate. We've hit rock bottom. We say, God, I'm sorry. You know, kind of now hurry up and fix it. Make everything right again. Often when I counsel people who seem to be in somewhat of a desperate situation, I'll paint two paths for them, two pictures. I'll say, you can either one, when things start to get better, turn away from the Lord again and go back the way that you were. You can come desperate or you can be broken before the Lord. And no matter what your situation is, you're still going to be faithful to Him. And I'll say I've seen plenty of people who come desperate, broken down, ready to weep and ready to just kind of throw in the towel. And they're at a place of desperation and no turning back. And they turn to the Lord and they throw everything to Him. But as soon as He gives some relief, they turn away. I say only time will tell whether you came to me broken or desperate. Desperation says, fix it now, Lord. Fix it right now. Please just fix it. Brokenness says, God, I'm willing to deal with anything and everything that I have coming. Here's what the Israelites did. God says, I will pour out my wrath upon you. I will scatter you. No more mercy. You're not my people. And here's what they say in Hosea 6:1. Don't be deceived by Israel's fake confession here. Come, let us return unto the Lord. You think, man, they're repenting. No, they're not. The only reason they're returning to the Lord is for this. For he had torn and he will heal us. It says, he had smitten, and he will bind us up. He said, we're in trouble. Hurry, everybody. Run back to God. He'll fix it. That is the sign of someone who is desperate, not broken before the Lord. I say, come on, everybody. Get back. Are they repenting? No, they're not. They just want God to put the Band-Aid on and fix their broken situation. And as soon as he does, then they're on their merry way. Thanks, Doc. I'll be back when I'm hurt again. Hosea 6:4. Here's the response. O Ephraim. Remember, sometimes in Scripture, Ephraim is referred to as Israel, the nation. It says, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness, notice this, is as a morning cloud, and as the earth, or the early dew, it goeth away. You wake up in the morning, you come outside early enough, and there's that dew on the ground in there. But by noon, it's gone. And he says, I'm not believing it for a second. Because as soon as I heal you, he says, I know you're gone again. Like the morning cloud. You want me now, God says, because you're in trouble. If you've ever gotten to the point where you've told your kids, all right, come here, you're getting a whooping. If you want to see some repentant children, all right, bring that, you know, speak those words at that moment. And then they are the best behaved kids for the next 10 seconds that you'd ever have, right? I mean, not my kids. They would never do anything like that, right? I got to tease them a little bit. I only get them in here Sunday night, so I love you guys. He says, you only want me. Why? Because I have torn and you want me to heal you. I have smitten and you just want me to bind you up. Hosea 6 and verse 6, God's response to them is this: "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." God says, "Look, Israel, I just don't want your lip service. I want your heart, not your words, not your offerings, not your works. There are consequences." Listen, as Christians, we are going to heaven, but when we sin, there are consequences that may come on earth. We can hurt our family. We can ruin our testimony. Notice what Hosea 8:8 says. Israel had turned so far away from the Lord. It says that they are swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles. You realize what Hosea is telling them? He says, Israel, because of your sin, you blend in and are just like all of the other Gentile nations. You're supposed to be separate, peculiar, chosen people, sanctified for my glory and your good. And he says, and we can't even tell you apart anymore. You're just like everybody else. Remember the verse in the passage we discussed, Romans 12, 1 and 2 last week, "Be not conformed to this world." It says you blend right in. He says you're as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. He says, Israel, you're like a broken piece of pottery that's been thrown out into the dump with no more value. In the trash, he says. No one would want you, Israel. You have completely ruined your testimony among the Gentiles. He says, you have played the harlot against me, been used and abused like a broken piece of pottery, and then those gods that you ran to threw you out into the dump. But remember, the lesson we're learning from Hosea is not that God is just, which he is, but that our God and his love is never ending. There will be consequences. But although Israel had played the harlot, as believers, when we sin, we're like that broken piece of pottery. And then in the rubble, the hand of the potter reaches down and he makes us again, doesn't he? He says, Israel, I'm going to scatter you. I'm pouring out my wrath. I will not be your God. And yet I will return to you again. I mean, right there, God could have stopped and said and been completely just, right? He didn't have to come back again. He already got them the first time and they blew it. They ruined it. And yet he comes back again. God loves the harlot. But remember this, he doesn't leave the harlot where she's at, right? He takes her away from that. Lastly, number four, we have the restoration. Hosea 2 and verse 14. He says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Hosea marries Gomer, takes her out of harlotry, out of prostitution. She betrays that covenant, goes back to that life. And now Hosea says, I will, and if you could fill in the blank, he would have been just to say, I will have her stoned to death because of what she's done. And according to the law, he would have been completely justified in doing so. I will kill her because of what she has done. And yet it says, I will allure her. That means I will win her back. And you think, wait, what? He could have had her stoned to death, and he says, I will win her back. This is the complete opposite of what we would expect in our story. You know, at first, maybe we visualize Gomer crawling back to Hosea and begging him, please, Hosea, take me back. I should have never left you. You took me out of all of that prostitution and that brokenness. Please, Hosea, and beg, forgive me. I'll never do it again. Give me one more chance. But that's not what you find. It's the opposite. Hosea is the one who runs to Gomer and says, I'll get her back. He continues in the next verse, Hosea 2:15, it says, I will give her her vineyards from thence, in the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. God says to Israel, listen, you have done nothing to deserve this, but even though I'm bringing you into slavery, I will come and get you again. I will win you back to me, even when you don't want me. That's the kind of God that we serve. Even when we run away, he still what? Pursues after us like the hound of heaven. He says, I will win her back. I love what it says there. He says, I will take the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And at this, in that particular verse, when he talks about that valley, that particular valley, does anyone remember where the valley of Achor was from? It's a name that sounds somewhat like Achor, but not acorn. Anybody remember? You remember a man in the Bible whose name was Achan? You see, back in the book of Joshua, you have the story of the walls of Jericho, right? And they march around the city. They defeat the city. The walls come tumbling down. They get the victory. But before they ever go in, God makes a rule. He says, you are not to touch of the silver, the gold, the precious jewels. All of those are to come to me. The very first city, this was kind of his tithe in a sense. He says, all of that will be mine. Don't touch it. It's accursed. What God calls evil, we can't call good, no matter how good it looks, right? And yet there was a man named Achan. Maybe you remember the story now. Achan comes into the city. It says he sees the stuff. He desires it. And then he takes it. Joshua 7:1, before the Israelites go to their next battle, they have a sin problem now because someone has taken of the accursed thing. But the rest of the children of Israel don't know about it. And it says, as they go off, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan took of the accursed thing. He takes it, he brings it to his tent, and remember, he hides it. Now, the tragedy behind this, Achan was so selfish and so covetous to take from this first city. And did you know that the next city, God told them they could have all the spoils themselves? All he had to do was wait. And yet he didn't. He takes the accursed thing. He hides it. The children of Israel go off to face really a little pesky town, a pesky city. It's only two letters long, AI, all right? I mean, you can't even, it's just basically initials. And they go up and they say, well, we don't need to bring all the soldiers. And they go up there and they get whooped. And they come back running. And Joshua falls on his knees and he says, God, what is wrong here? You said you would be with us. And he's blaming God in essence, saying, God, what happened? What did you? And God says, get up, stop praying. There's sin in the camp. Someone took the accursed thing. And so what do? Through this divine method, God reveals to Joshua who the man is. He says, I want you to bring all of the tribes, all of the people together. And then he says, all right, we're going to bring this down all the way to one person. Take out Judah. Now take out the house of Zerah. Now the house of Zabdi and the people of Carmi and all the way to Achan. And then Achan gets really repentant, does he? And he said, well, he said, I saw this stuff and I took it and yada, yada. And God was very clear. This wasn't a, okay, you get a chance at a do-over, Achan. Don't take it. And he took it. Here's what happens in Joshua 7:26. This was a very tragic time in Joshua's day. I mean, look throughout the book of Joshua. And this may be one of the most terrible things that happens in the entire book. It's really a book about victory, isn't it? And yet here we have this dark blemish on their account, and really in Joshua's book, because they took of the accursed thing. And it says, and they raised over him, Achan, a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. This valley, Achan was stoned to death, his entire family, all of his possessions, stoned and burned. When Israel thought about the Valley of Achor, there were no good memories about that. Many people lost their lives in that battle of Ai because of Achan's sin. That means that there were wives who no longer had husbands. There were children who no longer had fathers because of Achan's sin. So when the children of Israel thought of the Valley of Achor, what did they think about? Death, pain, sin, judgment, heartache, brokenness. You say, well, what does that have to do with Hosea? Here's what he says. I will take the valley of Achor, the valley of pain and death and sin. He says, I'm rewriting its story. It's now a valley of hope. And is that not our story? Are we not in this story? God says, I'm taking your sin, your brokenness, your pain, and I'm changing your story. I'm giving you a new story. You're no longer going to be remembered as that valley of judgment, but now you are a valley of hope. God says, I will forget the trouble you've caused, and I will turn it into hope. Listen, sometimes we may have an argument with somebody, and there's still tension afterwards. Even after forgiveness, and yet God doesn't have that. No matter how dark the day, God promises us hope if we return with sincere repentance. Now notice this. This is very important. Again, Gomer is still a prostitute. It wasn't like she got her life right, and then Hosea says, okay, now I'll go and win her back. That's not what happens. She's in the middle of it, unrepentant. As a matter of fact, Hosea 3:1, it tells us this. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Do you see? He's bringing the story all together. He says, go and get her back. Love a woman, yet an adulteress. It reminds me of that verse in Romans 5:8 where it says that God commendeth his love toward us while what? We were yet sinners. It's the same thing with the Lord. He says, Hosea, go back. Can you imagine how hard it was for Hosea to suck up his pride and go to Gomer the first time and say, will you marry me? And yet she leaves him, forsakes that covenant, goes back, and now she's still with other men. Do you get that? And God tells Hosea, go and get her back. And he's probably thinking, go get her back. Maybe Hosea is like, God, you don't know what I've been through, right? Do you know what she's done to me, Lord? To our family, all that I gave her, the love I showed her, and she turned her back on me and spit in my face by leaving that covenant and forsaking it. God, do you understand? God's answer, yes, I do. Because that's exactly what Israel is doing to me right now, Hosea. Maybe Hosea said, oh. Hosea was learning a lesson, too, about the never-ending love of God. God said, I will restore Israel again. They will be my people, and I once again will be their God. And so he goes, and he buys her back. Hosea 3:2, and then we'll close. says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and half a homer of barley." So I bought her to me. Hang on a sec. He already won her the first time, and now he has to go and physically pay for her to buy his own wife out of prostitution. Wait a minute, she already belongs to me, right? No, pay up. So it says he gives 15 pieces of silver and some barley. And again, I don't want to read too much into this. But does anyone know in Scripture, maybe you do if you know the story of the betrayal of Jesus, how many pieces of silver was Jesus betrayed for? 30 pieces of silver. And that was significant because that was about the going rate for a common price of a slave. At this point in time, Hosea, her worth, is about the common price of a slave. And you think, well, maybe, or excuse me, Gomer, the common price of a slave. And maybe you think, well, Hosea didn't have to spend very much, at least. But you read into that, and you realize that you think, well, what's this barley all about? Well, they didn't always pay with just money. They would trade food and goods and things like that. But when they did not have money, they would often pay with other methods like barley. And it says a homer of barley, which just so happens to be worth about 10 pieces of silver, and half a homer, about 15 pieces of silver. That brings the total to about 30 pieces of silver. And here's, as you read this, what comes across. Think, well, maybe Hosea was rich. Maybe he was, and this was no big deal. Or maybe he was poor. All he had was 15 pieces of silver, and he had to search the cupboards for anything else to pay for his own wife. He gives everything he has for her to win her back. Kyle Yates wrote this about the book of Hosea. He said, "Hosea takes his place among the greatest lovers of all the ages. His love was so strong that the vilest behavior could not dull it. Gomer broke his heart, but she made it possible for him to give the world a picture of the heart of God." Who is Gomer? Well, that's definitely Israel. Hosea, a picture of the Lord. Where are we in the story? Well, we're not Hosea. We're Gomer. God has bought us. He created us. And then he bought us again when Jesus died on the cross. How many times has God taken us back? Praise the Lord for his never-ending love. Amen. Would you bow with me tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this evening, just between me, you, and the Lord, if you say, "Pastor Nate, I know that I'm a sinner, but I've been saved. I've trusted Christ to save me from those sins." If that's you, would you slip up your hand as a testimony to that tonight? Amen. All across the room. Is there anyone here with us tonight unsure of their salvation? "Pastor Nate, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved." Anybody like that? Okay. Maybe you're here tonight, Christian, and you need reminded of the story of Hosea. You needed to be reminded that, listen, God loves you right where you're at. But he loves you too much to keep you there. He loves us when we're sinners. He loves us in our sin, and yet he doesn't want us to stay there. He takes us like Gomer and brings us out of the dirt. He makes us new. He enters into a covenant with us. For you and I, Christian, that is the covenant of salvation. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is always our God, and we will always